Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
We're back for another brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you on the afternoon drive. But today we're going to divide it up. More local, more national sports. And as far as the local sports scene goes, we're going to begin to preview what's an exciting, important weekend for high school football. Final week of the regular season for all teams in the 3A classification. And it will set the stage for next week's opening round of the state playoffs. That's fun. Carbon High School, they'll be looking to clinch a home playoff game. Can you believe that? It's been a while since the Dinos have been in contention for something of this sort. Emory, on the flip side, they can clinch a home playoff game with a Carbon loss, and if they manage to beat Grantsville. So there's a lot of scenarios that need to play out at the high school level, and we are going to talk about those today. Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dino football team will join us next segment here on the show. And we're exactly 1 week away from the start of the NBA season. That seems early, doesn't it? I mean, typically it's the end of October when we start the new basketball season, but now it's in the middle of October, October 16th, and that was done to, of course, eliminate some of the back-to-backs and the three games and four nights for the NBA squads. The NBA preseason has been under the radar. Really, the only storyline, there's been two storylines. LeBron James in a Los Angeles Laker uniform and the Jimmy Butler saga in Minnesota. That's been it. I mean, those have really been the only two storylines in the NBA that have kind of pushed the preseason narrative. So we will talk some NBA basketball today. I want to put a heavy focus on the Utah Jazz. How important is Rudy Gobert to where the Jazz are going to go this season? I know people wanted to say that Gordon Hayward was the most important player, 2 years ago? That wasn't the case, obviously. And now people would love to say that Donovan Mitchell is the most important player. And I love Donovan Mitchell, but he's not. It's Rudy Gobert. When Rudy Gobert is out on the floor, the Jazz have a different dynamic that nobody else in the league has. We'll talk to the Utah Jazz. Are they a top three team of the West? I think so. We'll talk Utah Jazz basketball and some of the other storylines. Who would join Utah and Golden State in the top three if you put the Jazz in at, say, number two or number three? Who would join them? Is it Houston? Maybe LA? I'm willing to put the Lakers in the conversation. You got LeBron, you got the greatest player in the world. Oklahoma City? Nah. And we'll talk NBA basketball coming up in just a bit. Let's start by talking NFL. Last night, Drew Brees, he was pretty historical, passes Peyton Manning for most yards in an NFL career. Boy, he was fantastic last night. He really was. And the New Orleans Saints blast through the Washington Redskins, which keeps the door open in the NFC East. And in fact, we have an NFC East showdown coming up this Thursday, as the New York Giants and the Philadelphia Eagles will battle it out. That's a very important game. And the Giants lost a heartbreaker to the Panthers this past Sunday. How important was that loss for the Giants? We'll go over the NFC East. I'll talk about just how wide open that division really is. And the Saints may be the only team in the NFC that could push the Rams for home field. I know we're five games into the season, and a lot can happen. But the NFC is not nearly as dominant as we thought it was going to be going into the regular season. I want to talk about that a little bit later on in the show. Outside of that, some news coming out of the NFL. The Jacksonville Jaguars, who were plagued by injuries at the running back spot, have signed Jamaal Charles to a one-year deal. Now, this comes after Corey Grant was placed on the injured reserve list with a fracture in his left foot. Leonard Fournette is out indefinitely because of a right hamstring injury. And T.J. Yeldon has been playing, but he has an ankle injury as well. And the Jaguars also promoted first-year back Brandon Wilds from the practice squad. He was a non-factor with a ball liability as a blocker. They obviously know this. Jamaal Charles worked out for several teams in the offseason. He said he was just waiting for the right opportunity to sign with a contender. He's only 31 years old, and it wasn't but 3 or 4 years ago. Jamal Charles was, in fact, the most prolific back, best all-around back, one of the most dangerous backs in the NFL. Multiple ACL injuries knocked him down a notch or two. He was ultimately replaced in Kansas City by Spencer Ware. Sharkhandrick West was another one. Then they bring in Kareem Hunt. There was no spot for Jamal Charles. He couldn't really latch on in Denver last year. How is this going to work? Well, it's better than what they had. And I know the lifespan, the expiration date on a running back is extremely small. It's very short-lived in the NFL. I get this. Jamal Charles, I'm fine with this. I think the Jaguars, you have nothing to lose here. I mean, look at Washington with Adrian Peterson. Things have worked out okay there. It was a late addition. AP has been good. He's been great. He's been good. Left last night's game with a shoulder injury, but he's been good. So I kind of like the move. Interesting to see Jamal Charles and what kind of noise he can make, if any. And he'll go picking him up on your fantasy roster. I don't think he's going to have that massive impact, but it's fun to see someone like this getting another chance. Let's move from the NFL, go over to Major League Baseball. Tonight, the Boston Red Sox will have an opportunity to punch their ticket to the ALCS. They picked up what I'm going to call a surprising win last night against the Yankees. But they blasted through New York. Tonight, it's Rick Porcello going up against CC Sabathia. Start time for this game is set for 6:07, an elimination game for the Yankees. Can they force game five? I mean, yesterday we had the Dodgers power past the Atlanta Braves. They were losing 2-1 when we went off the air yesterday. But the Dodgers managed to punch their ticket. The Astros swept the Indians yesterday, and the Brewers 2 days ago defeated the Rockies. So we are seriously just waiting on the Red Sox and the Yankees before we determine the final four teams in Major League Baseball. The NLCS will start on Friday. The ALCS will start on Saturday. It'll absolutely cause a different dynamic if the Yankees do in fact pick up a Game 4 victory tonight. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. Local sports recap is coming your way in just a moment. Also, we will catch up with Coach Josh Huntsman and talk some NBA basketball as well a little bit later on in the show. It's a Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports, and we're back right after this. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And today, the Carbon Lady Dinos and the Emory Lady Spartans will battle in the opening round of the 3A State Championship Soccer Tournament at Carbon High School. Both squads will enter number 3 seeds, Emory number 3 from Region 14 and Carbon the number 3 seed from Region 14. This afternoon's matchup will be the first meeting of the season between the two squads. Both got off to brilliant starts throughout the season. In fact, Emory was in contention to win a region championship before fading late in the regular season. Carbon finished with a region record of 7-5, finishing 2 games better than Providence Hall and 3 games back of Juab. Emory, on the flip side, was 4-3-1. Overall, Carbon will enter today's tilt with a record of 8-6, Emory at 8-4-1. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We will bring you the results from today's competition as soon as they become available. Now, we stick with high school sports, but we move over to golf. And last week, the Carbon Dino Golf Squad wrapped up the season with a 5th-place finish at the 3A State Championship Tournament. It was a successful year for the Carbon Golf Squad. After once again finishing region play unbeaten, they also recaptured the traveling trophy, the Eastern Utah Cup, by beating Uinta and Union. All this took place under first-year head coach Brett Johnson, who was a guest on Drive Time Sports yesterday, and he started by talking about the team's performance at the 3A state tournament.
Overall, I was really pleased with our play. The second day really kind of got it. I'm not sure if it was nerves or what really happened that second day, if we were just trying too hard to kind of chase Morgan. But overall, I was really pleased. After the first day, you know, before the state tournament, I said that if we could shoot around the 300 to 310, we'd be in a good position. And after the first day, we shot 311.
This year's golf squad consists of a solid 6-man roster, but also 2 seniors, Carson Martinez and Tyler Yakovich. Coach Johnson talked about both individuals, starting with Carson Martinez, where he says he was a model senior captain.
I want every one of my younger kids to look up to Carson and to see how hard he worked, how he stayed after for practice and worked on his game, stuff that he needed to work on. And it showed. His first 4 or 5 matches, he struggled. But towards the end of the season, he really picked up his game and played to where he usually plays at.
Congratulations to the Carbon Dino Golf Squad on a highly successful 2018 season. We move over to high school football, and coming up this Friday on KRPX 95.3 The Peak, the Carbon Dinos will wrap up the regular season in a highly important contest against the Judge Memorial Bulldogs. A win for Carbon means that they will play host to a home playoff game. A loss, and they'll be scoreboard watching for the Emory Spartans. An Emory loss coupled with a Carbon loss means a three-way tie. A Carbon win means that they just outright host a playoff game, and Emory will be the 5 seed, followed by Judge Memorial in 6th. Today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we will catch up with Carbon High School football coach Josh Huntsman, and we will preview this Friday's contest. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. You can also listen to the Coach's Corner, where we interview local coaches from all sports. Again, that's at CastleCountryRadio.com. Just click on the Drive Time Sports link. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
For every passing play, every running play, every win, and every loss, there is one man making all the calls. Get ready to dig deep into this week's game and relive all of last week's plays. It's Real Talk About Your Team.
We have reached the final week of the regular season for high school football. Can you believe that? Season has gone by in such a hurry this season. It's a very big week, though, for both Carbon and Emory. The Carbon Dinos, they control their own destiny. They have a chance to clinch a home playoff spot if they can get a win this Friday against Judge Memorial. Now, a Carbon loss means Carbon would be scoreboard watching for Emory. If Emory could somehow top Grantsville, they would move in and clinch a home playoff spot. If Emory was to lose and Carbon was to lose, we would have a coin flip to determine the final seeding in the three-way tie. Joining us right now to talk about the action coming up this Friday, we have Carbon High School football coach Josh Huntsman over the phone right now. Coach, a pleasure as always. Thank you.
I appreciate you having me on.
Coach, we'll start by talking about last week's game. You guys went toe-to-toe with the Morgan Trojans. I don't want to spend too much time on this because you and I had a pretty good conversation following the game on air. However, it did result in a loss, which means you guys have one more chance to clinch a home playoff spot before it goes to a coin toss. All in all, that's a good Morgan football team.
You know, definitely is a good Morgan football team. Well-coached, disciplined, understand the game, you know, just always in the right place. You know, we had to play a perfect game to beat them, and we didn't do that Friday night.
You know, Coach, I always come away from games like that looking at situations on how you guys improved as a football team. And to me, it's quite simple. I believe in the trenches, you guys are not any worse than you were, knowing that you were going up against one of the top defensive lines that I've seen in the state. I mean, they have caused havoc for pretty much every team they played. I mean, that's a pretty lethal four-man front. And even when we take a look at what they want to do offensively, that line does a terrific job of getting Carter Thackeray time to throw the football, climb the pocket, and kind of pick his poison. You guys got to go up against the best team in the state. I think it's hands down. That's the way to look at it.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I told Kobe Christiansen at halftime. I said, you got a state championship contender team right here. I said, you should be proud of what you guys have because you guys are tough. You know, and he was complimentary about our kids, but you know, that's just a darn good football team.
When you look at what you guys managed to do defensively, Coach, I thought that you guys played well in the secondary, and you and I talked about this. There were a couple of plays where you guys were right where you needed to be. Unfortunately, Thackeray's a great quarterback, and he managed to just place the ball perfect. I mean, it was college-esque type placement of that football. I mean, really, you go back and you look at the tape, do you still feel that way, that this defense, that you guys played well defensively, all things considered?
You know, I thought there was a couple of breakdowns in communication where, you know, we had one side of the field in zone, another side of the field in man. But, you know, I thought our kids played well. I thought they were where they were supposed to be. We just, you know, we were outplayed by a good football team.
Is it a deflating loss, Coach, or do the kids seem upbeat this week in practice?
You know, kids are pretty upbeat. You don't look at Morgan and say that's a defeating loss. I mean, they put 45 points up on every team they've played. And usually it's early. Usually it's in the first, second quarter that they have all those points up. And so, you know, that's a state championship contender. So if our kids are deflated by that, they shouldn't be. That's fantastic football club.
Right. Right. Well, yeah, that's absolutely the way I felt. I know that the kids had high confidence following the win against Emory, back-to-back losses since that point. But it is important to stress, you guys are in a fine situation. In fact, I'm willing to say, Coach, at the beginning of the season, if I'd have told you all you have to do is earn a win at home against Judge Memorial last game of the year to get a home playoff game, you'd probably take that scenario, wouldn't you?
I definitely would. You know, and I think that our kids are up for that challenge. I think, you know, this community is ready for a home playoff football game, and so we're gonna go out there and do our best to get it for them.
Injuries, I know, are always a cause for concern, Coach, especially when you have a lower number program, and they tend to add up around this time of the year. On that injury front, how does Carbon look going into the final game against Judge?
You know, it's the next man up mentality. We did lose Noah Jones to a broken hand yesterday in practice, and so, you know, we'll put Jalen Dennis in there, and Jalen will do a good job for us. You know, we'll kind of change things up a little bit, make it more suitable for what he's comfortable with. But I feel like, you know, we're still in a great position to give Judge a run for their money.
You mentioned Jalen Dennis at quarterback, Coach. I'm going to go back to the offseason, early summer workouts. There were a couple of practices that I attended, and at that point in time, Noah was not around. He was still at boot camp, and so Jalen was actually running the offense. And I remember you putting a big emphasis on situational football. Now, I know Jalen has taken snaps under center or at quarterback over the last couple of months, that you had toyed with this idea going up against Emory as well, that Jalen would be your quarterback. Do you believe that he has learned that situational football, even though his primary responsibility has not been quarterback since the offseason workouts?
I think he has. I think we've moved him around on the football field enough for him to understand each role of each position player there. So, I mean, he's been out at wide receiver for us. He's been in the slot for us. He's played a quarterback in a few JV games for us. And so I think Jalen will be just fine. You know, he's what we're going to look to for the future. And so, you know, there's no better time than now to get him prepared, get him ready to go.
He has played very well defensively for you guys, especially at safety, Coach. And I'm assuming that this is something that will definitely benefit him. The fact that he has played such a crucial role for you guys in the secondary. He knows how to move defensive backs. He knows how to move safeties, at least with his eyes. At least I would expect that for a kid that has played such a prominent role on that side of the ball.
Yeah, he definitely has. And he's been caught a few times by a quarterback moving him with his eyes. And so I think, you know, turnabout straight play there, I think he didn't understand the techniques that are going to be played in the back end, so I think that he'll be able to move safeties where he needs to move them and move corners to where he needs them and to be able to make those critical throws.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dino football team. Coach, we'll talk about Noah. You mentioned a broken hand. I know you and I talking a little bit off the cuff. It's not all doom and gloom. There's a chance you guys could get him back, at least for the defensive side of the football, before the end of the year.
Yeah, we're hoping to. We're gonna see what his doctors say, and if we can get him casted up and clubbed up well enough for him to come out and play. You know, if not, you know, it's hard when you lose a guy like that. He's been a prominent fixture here at Carbon High School for the last 4 years. I mean, he's seen playing time at quarterback since he was a freshman, and so, you know, it's tough when you lose him, especially on a senior night game. And you know, we'll just continue to try to get him healthy and see if we can get him on the football field and get him in a role where he can help us team.
We'll talk about the opponent on Friday night, Coach. Judge Memorial, it's kind of odd for a program that just, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, they were competing for state championships, and right now they've yet to win a football game this year, especially in region play. Offensively, they have definitely struggled, and I believe that you guys have gotten better and better defensively throughout the entire season. And the fact is, look, Judge gave up 44 points to Grantsville, they gave up 41 to Union, they gave up 50-plus to Morgan. I believe they gave up 28 to Emory, which was the most that Emory has scored all year. So when you take a look at what this team does defensively and how you guys kind of fit into the equation, to me, it's a great matchup on both sides of the football. They're not scoring a lot of points. They're giving up a ton of points.
You know, they're tough defensively. You know, their defensive ends will pinch hard, and they'll actually squeeze plays, allow their linebackers to come downhill and play. You know, despite their record, this is actually a pretty good football team, and they're very well coached. Coach Cordova does a fantastic job with them every single year. He gets players in the right position, and so this is a good matchup for us. I think we're going to score points, and I think they're going to give up some points, But, you know, we've got to control the football still. We've got to still continue to do the things that we do offensively and defensively to put ourselves in a position to take control of the football game.
At this stage in the season, you should be seeing the best of any team, barring any major injury. And when I talk about Judge Memorial's lack of offensive production, they didn't. I believe they only scored 2 touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken, in non-region play. Since that point in time in region play, they've had success. I mean, they have scored 3 touchdowns, I believe, in 3 out of the 4 games or something to that extent. Have you seen massive improvement from this opponent, Coach, going into Friday's game?
You know, watching, we've got quite a bit of film on them, and having watched quite a bit of that film, you know, you can definitely see their improvement each week. And you know, it's tough. He's been up and down all season. He's gone from 35 plays to 21 plays, back to 33, back to 20. And so he's been up and down with his players. I don't believe he's played a sub-varsity game in over 3 weeks. And so, you know, he's working on trying to get players back into the lineup, and it's tough when he has a different lineup every single week.
I know that this game is important in the sense, Coach, where you guys can lock up the 4 seed, but you could realistically drop all the way down to the 6 seed with a loss, depending on how the coin flip goes. Have you paid attention to the 3A South at all and maybe looked at who you could potentially match up against in the first round of the playoffs?
You know, it's been interesting as you take quite a few teams over there in the South that are 4-4 sitting in that 4, 5, and 6 spot. And so it's kind of up in the air as to who's going to do what. I know, you know, the big one is happening up top. You've got Juan Diego and Summit Academy who are playing this weekend to figure out that number 1 seed. They could have a tie on the top 3. They could also have a tie in the bottom 3, so you're not real sure as to how that's going to play out. I know Richfield played real tough at the beginning of the year and are sitting at 4-4 and in 6th position in that region. And so, you know, GWAB has played great football right now too. They're sitting at 4-4 and lost to Manti. You know, Manti's sitting in that 4 spot right now. And so, you know, it looks like if things play out how we kind of think that they will, we'll probably end up playing GWAB, you know, the first round of the playoffs. If not, you know, if GWAB picks up a win and something else crazy happens, you could be in that coin flip for the bottom 3, just like in the coin flip for the top 3.
I'm not gonna lie, Coach, I'd be really curious to see a Carbon Manti part 2 this season. I really would.
You know, that would definitely be a fun one, but you know, we'll take whoever we get. I think we're a better football team currently right now than we were at the beginning of the year. And so I think that would definitely be a fun matchup. You know, GWAB would be a good matchup. I don't know a lot about GWAB this year, about what they've done. You know, don't know a whole lot about Richfield, what they've done this year either. And so, you know, any one of those teams would be a fun matchup. But, you know, definitely a Manti matchup would definitely be a fun one to see. But see where we were at from the beginning of the year to the end of the year.
I know the kids always get up for the rivalry matchups against Emory. I know they get up for state tournament games, Coach. But when we take a look at the senior class all the way down to the sophomore class and maybe even some freshmen that may get to see the football field this Friday, it's not an overstatement to say this is the most important game that they have ever played at Carbon High this Friday.
I believe it is. You know, a lot of our kids will say that Emory game was the most important one. But, for me, it's always the next one up. And, you know, if we get a win, here, we put ourselves in a great position to host a playoff game and to bring something to Carbon County that hasn't been here in a very, very long time. And so, you know, that's what we're excited about, is being able to go out, being able to perform, and, you know, possibly bring in a home playoff game to Carbon County.
Well, Coach, I'm definitely looking forward to the game on Friday. I really appreciate the time, and we'll see you there.
Yep, thanks for having me on. Go Dinos.
Go Dinos, definitely. Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dino football team taking out the time to preview Friday's action, which, of course, you'll be able to listen to on KRPX 95.3 The Peak, beginning at 6:30 p.m. with the Landon's Diesel Service pregame show. We've got a break for just a moment. When we return, we're going to talk NBA basketball. 1 week away from the start of the regular season, how the Utah Jazz look in preseason? If you paid attention, if not, we'll give you a rundown. That's coming up next, right here on Drive Time Sports.
With the 6th pick in the 2014 NBA Draft, the Boston Celtics select Marcus Smart from Oklahoma State University.
This is Marcus Smart from the Boston Celtics, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini. Marcus Smart. What a spin move and a finish. Hard to handle Marcus Smart, whether he's outside or inside the paint.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios. And we are a week away from the start of the NBA basketball season. It's popping up in a hurry. We're going to talk a couple of storylines, including the Utah Jazz, and a little bit more right now with our next guest, Jameson Welsh, who is our Drive Time Sports NBA insider. Jameson, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. We are a week away. I think the preseason's kind of gone under the radar. A couple of big storylines have popped up, but for the most part, the NBA is definitely not at the forefront of the national media right now.
Oh, yeah, the NBA is in full, it's about to be in full swing. I mean, even with NFL underway and baseball being in the playoffs, like NBA, everybody's kind of curious what's going to happen. Of course, everyone wants to know what the Warriors are they going to three-peat? We all want to know what the Lakers are going to do. We all want to know what the Rockets are going to do. It's a lot of different storylines, a lot of different stuff going on. So it's a very curious situation. I think we all have an idea of what's going to happen this year, but we still got to play the games. And then also a lot of underlining things as well. What's going to happen with Anthony Davis? Are the Jazz and Blazers and Thunder going to take the next step? A lot of different things going on, so can't wait to see what's going to happen.
You say that we all have a good idea of what we think is going to happen, but you still got to play the games, and I agree with you on that. I will say this, though. I am not nearly as confident in the Golden State Warriors winning an NBA championship this year as I have been over the past 2 years. To me, it seems a little bit different this season. I know they go out and they get Boogie Cousins. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know when he's actually going to see the floor. And on top of that, I don't know if he's actually going to mesh. Now, along those same storylines, I know the Warriors have the best team in the NBA. Jameson, they're going for 4 in a row. That is extremely difficult to do. I mean, that's hard to do. They're going for 4 and 5 years, excuse me, right? 4 and 5 years. Yes, 4 and 5 years.
They are, but here's the thing. Here's the crazy part. Last year they did something very interesting. There were guys that were quote-unquote nicked up and whatnot. So down the stretch, they rested guys. Something that doesn't get talked about a lot. I mean, some guys were actually hurt. But like Klay Thompson, who pretty much plays every game if he can, he rested like 2 weeks of the season. Like, they didn't really play him that much. Durant, kind of the same treatment. Like, a lot of the guys really, they got a nice little vacation at the end of the year, which is kind of interesting. I will say that the miles usually add up. However, usually the teams that are making 5 finals trips in 5 years or, 4 and 5 years or however you want to classify it, there's usually some breakage. However, most of those teams are older teams. So, for instance, in the history of the sport, especially in our generation, most of those teams have had older cores of players, guys in their 30s, guys on, like, the wrong side of their careers or trending down that side. This team still has a lot of guys in their prime. I mean, guys are just turning 30. I think Durant and Curry are just now 30. Klay, Draymond, and Marcus are obviously younger. So they're going to be in okay shape. The thing with them that helps them out more than most is that, one, they have a team that's not afraid to rest guys, doesn't matter the situation. And, two, they have a situation where no one has to be on the whole night. Like, they have guys that can have an off night, they can still win. They can play their B-minus game and still win by 10. That's how good they are. But also, things do happen. I mean, of course, injuries. They've had some injuries in the past that haven't really done them a whole lot of favors. But they're a team, man. They're so good, so talented. Now they have extra motivation to try to get Boogie a ring. He came for less money, obviously, to join their crew. There's going to be extra motivation there. But again, you bring up a good point. Whenever a team is going for, like, basically 5 final runs in a row, it's really difficult to do.
It's difficult to do because things have to come together once again. And on top of that, I'm not going to ignore the fact that they may be a Chris Paul injury away from not getting to the finals last season, which would have been a disaster for this team. And maybe that would have, I'm not going to say, remotivated the squad, rejuvenated a squad, but at the same time, they were close. I think the Western Conference is a lot better this season as well, and we'll talk about one of those teams that may provide formidable competition, and that's the Utah Jazz. Obviously, there's a lot of expectations going into this season. Rudy Gobert in the preseason has looked pretty good. That's where I want to go with this conversation. He's been efficient from the field offensively in the preseason, and I get it. It is preseason. It doesn't account for anything, but going into his 6th season, if Rudy Gobert can stay healthy, that's a big if, because he hasn't been able to stay healthy over the last couple of seasons. There's no reason to believe the Jazz can't be a top 3 team in the Western Conference this season, right?
I mean, I'll put it this way. They may be in the mix for top 3, but the difference between 3-6. It's going to be just like last year. It's not going to be a whole lot of games separated. I mean, the difference might be 4 games from 3-7. I mean, that's just how talented the West is. A lot of the storylines, but you bring up a very good point. Rudy Gobert is what makes the Jazz go. As good as Donovan Mitchell is, as good as the coaching is, Rudy Gobert, and this has been, I've been saying this for a while now. This isn't just some, you know, some hot take. Like, this has been the case even when Gordon Hayward was there a couple years ago. They go as Rudy Gobert goes. He's able to do things defensively that very few could do. And on offense, he's gotten a lot better to the point where you can actually run plays for him and you can actually keep him involved in the game for the full game. So with that being said, if he's out for a third of the year, it can really be the difference between playing a home playoff game or having home court advantage in the first round or scrapping in to get to the playoffs, because the West is that deep. Now, I think there's going to be some teams that step back. I don't think the Timberwolves are going to be as good. I don't think the Blazers are going to be as good as they were last year. You know, so there's going to be interesting. I think the Pelicans are a 50-50 team. You just never know what you're going to get. However, the West is so deep and difficult, you just don't know what's going to happen. I think the Jazz have a good culture. I think they have a good core of guys. Everyone knows their role, so they're in good shape there. But they cannot, under any circumstances, if Gobert misses 10 or more games, they're in danger because they have no one that can replace what he does.
Correct. Again, our guest right now is Jameson Welsh, our NBA Drive Time Sports Insider. The Western Conference is going to be better front to back. Of course, you can't have a conversation about the West without mentioning the Lakers. Now we've had an opportunity to see this team play a couple of times. I'm curious to see how Lonzo Ball fits into the equation. I think they only get better when Lonzo Ball is actually 100% on this team. They're definitely deeper. When I talk about top three, top four teams in the West, Jameson, I'm still throwing the Lakers in that mix. And the reason I'm throwing the Lakers in the mix is because they have LeBron James, the greatest player in the world, and they put together some interesting pieces around him. So, yes, I think it's fair to put the Jazz in the top three. I think it's fair to put the Lakers in this conversation as well. And, of course, you have to talk about the Houston Rockets. To me, those are the top four teams in the Western Conference from what I have seen in preseason, gauging off of the eye test, and, again, looking at it on paper.
Without a doubt. No, you're absolutely correct. You know, we look at the landscape of the league, and we look at the Lakers. Lakers bring up very important Lakers. They're a young team for the most part. I mean, LeBron's older season, but they have a lot of young guys that are going to be playing a lot of minutes for them. And I've mentioned this on someone else's show, that the difference between the Lakers and the Cavs is that the Cavs had established all-stars that kind of are who they are. So it's going to be very difficult to kind of mold them and kind of get them to buy into what you're trying to do. Lakers have the right mix of young talent that's still trying to find themselves, but at the same time show a lot of promise. Guys like Ingram, Kuzma, Ball, Hart, those guys are going to do whatever it takes to blend in with LeBron. They're not really going to combat what he's trying to do or what he's trying to say. They're going to try to make it work with him a lot more than Kyrie and Kevin Love did in that first go around with the Cavs. So it's going to be an interesting fit with the young guys. As long as everybody can stay healthy, they have a pretty good team. When they finalize on the lineup, I expect their defense to get a lot better. I know it's been shaky over the preseason. When they finalize the rotation and the lineup, their defense should be pretty good. They have a lot of guys that can switch and hold their own on that end. So it's going to be very fun. I think the Lakers have a team that can be exciting. I think they can pretty much play with anyone. I mean, they have a lot of tools to be able to make some things work.
Nobody's going to want to play that team in the playoffs. I'm sticking to that. I said that on paper, and after watching this team play a couple of games in the preseason, nobody wants to see that team in a 7-game set.
Right, right. And especially with guys who are, you know, people know about Brandon Ingram, but they don't really watch him like that. I mean, Brandon Ingram's a really good basketball player who doesn't get the same respect as other guys get rather in the same draft class. So we'll see. It's going to be very fun. I mean, having a guy at 6'9 with that wingspan being able to dribble the ball from 30 feet and get to the basket on a regular basis is a pretty good thing to have. But also, here's my thing with Lakers, too. My biggest concern is, do they have a big guy outside of JaVale McGee that can play solid minutes? And that's going to be – no, that could be an issue going forward. But I tell people this all the time. The team you see now is probably not the team you're going to see in February.
Let's move over to the East, and because, again, the Western Conference is by far the most compelling of the two. It has been in quite some time. With LeBron leaving the East, I guess it brings some more intrigue, but there's no reason to believe it's not going to be the Celtics and the 76ers battling it out for the Eastern Conference crown. As far as seeing the Boston Celtics and getting Gordon Hayward back this season, and knowing that there was a chance that we could have seen Hayward last year, I mean, really, going back and looking at it, it took LeBron 7 games to get past this Boston Celtic team. And without Hayward playing essentially at all last season, To me, it's almost as if the Celtics acquired Hayward this offseason. I almost view it as that. Like, you're adding to a team that was one quarter away from getting to the NBA Finals. Boston is intriguing this year. The Eastern Conference, to me, doesn't do a lot for me once we get past Philadelphia and Boston. Outside of that, to me, I think it's going to be extremely top-heavy, three or four teams. But just based on the fact that we haven't seen Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving play together, I'm curious with the Celtics.
Well, we're all curious because there's a lot of guys that fit in. You know, you mentioned getting Gordon Hayward back. They already have two very young wing players that can play at a high level, and you're adding a third guy that's going to need to get minutes. Who's going to come off the bench? Who's going to start? Who's going to be, you know, who's going to miss shots? Who's going to, you know, it's a lot of things to, you know, worry about. Bringing Brad Stevens is an awesome coach. He's going to have his hands full with that situation, but it'll work out. Like, it's not going to be a situation where it's not going to pan out. It's definitely going to work out. However, a lot of questions that need to be answered, because when I look at that team, of course, they're the best team on East on paper. That's what I doubt. Like, they are definitely, you know, the best team. Like, that's what, you know, not question. But a lot of things to worry about and consider, because somebody's not going to get the minutes they think they should be getting. And a guy to look out is Jaylen Brown. Like, that's the guy that, you know, he's a really good young player who feels like he's better than maybe he actually is, or, you know, maybe he's better as he, you know, as we say he is. He's really good. And if you're going to cut his minutes, who knows what that does? You know, there's a lot of things we don't know yet. Can't wait to find out. But, no, Boston's definitely the best team in the East. And I think Philly's the second-best team. I think Philly, with the two guys they have, the two young unicorns that they have, they're number two. If they're healthy, they can push Boston, because they have two guys that you just can't do anything with. You know, you got two guys that are very, very dominant at what they do, and they're supposed to be better this year. So we'll definitely see. There's going to be a surprise team out East that either sneaks into the top four or is a really challenging team. Don't know who that team is, whether it's Washington, whether it's Charlotte. I have no clue, but there's going to be a team that comes out the blue and plays pretty well.
Toronto, I guess, has got to be in the picture as well. I mean, again, I have a hard time taking the Raptors seriously based off of what we've seen over the last 2 years, but I will point this out. For as big as a fan of DeMar DeRozan as I am, a lot of the problems for Toronto in the postseason was DeMar DeRozan, and they replaced that with Kawhi Leonard. I mean, that's fair to say. Like I said, I'm a huge DeMar DeRozan fan. I love the guy. I love the way he plays. Love the fact that we have a two guard that brings mid-range basketball back to it. Fact remains, he hasn't been good in the postseason, and they replaced him with an NBA champion.
Well, all right. First of all, when it comes to the Raptors, there's one guy I look at and I point a lot of blame to. It's the fat point guard. And that's the issue. That's been the issue for a while now. That is a situation that, to me, when you have a guy that's an all-star and somebody who's an all-star starter, and he doesn't play like it when it matters, that's an issue. Now, DeMar's had his issues in the postseason, but the point guard position, the one thing you can't have such a disadvantage at that spot when you're counting on that guy. It's not like the point guard is a role player on that team. They counted on Kyle Lowry for so many years to pretty much play equal to his opposition, and very few times in the playoffs has he done that. It's almost been the opposite. It's almost been like, hey, what's going on? Why is he not showing up? So I think Kyle Lowry's biggest issue on the team. However, they did improve. Like, bringing Kawhi Leonard for DeMar DeRozan, they did improve. And nonetheless, even if they don't keep Kawhi, if this is a one-year rental, they get that salary off the books. So it's not a bad thing per se. My biggest issue with Toronto is this. Can they figure out their front court? Because Valanciunas and Ibaka, they didn't look well when they played the Cavs. Can they stay on the court versus teams? Because if their front court is able to play versus teams, and they're able to be on there, they have a shot, because Kawhi Leonard is going to be the best player on the court on any given night.
Jameson Welsh, again, our Drive Time Sports NBA insider. Jameson, before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Well, I'll be on here once a week during the season. I will be ESPN 1100 in Vegas, ESPN 1480 in Nebraska, Fox 1340 out in Mexico and in Vegas, 7:20 a.m. out here in Vegas and three other states. Should be fun. It should be fun.
Absolutely. I know you have kind of gone a little bit more towards just the radio waves, right, outside of the writing area a little bit more.
Yes. Let's as long as there's so much demand for NBA. Everyone's asking and begging for NBA. You know, everyone's talking about, hey, what's going on? You know, can we talk about this? Because people have a lot of questions. There's so much going on. Like I told someone earlier today, the NBA doesn't stop anymore. There's just so many storylines. I mean, the Jimmy Butler storyline, it's been going on for a while, but it's happened in September. You know, it's something where there's always, I mean, the Suns just fired their GM 10 minutes ago, mid-segment. So these things happen. there's always something going on, and there's always something to talk about.
Yeah, right. It's bizarre to say the least. Jameson, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Not a problem. Thank you.
We got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return live from the Auto Forum Studios on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
We're back to put the final touches on this Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. I said at the beginning of the show I wanted to talk about the NFC East, which we got no clarity last night. I know the Redskins had a golden opportunity. I know they were on the road, but still a chance to put themselves in the upper echelon group of the NFC. They were blown out of the water. Alex Smith did not play well last night. Somehow, someway, the Redskins are still the top team in the NFC East, mostly because they've already had a bye and they only have two losses, as to where everyone else has at least three. The Cowboys are tied with the Eagles at 2-3, and then the Giants are in last at 1-4, and we really could have a logjam in the NFC East 5 games into the season. All the Giants had to do was prevent the Carolina Panthers from marching down the field, getting across the 50-yard line, and setting up a 63-yard field goal for Graham Gano. That's it. That's all they had to do. Keep Carolina out of a 65-yard field goal range, and we'd have a three-way tie for second place. All three teams would be a half game behind the Redskins. But as I'm watching this Washington-New Orleans game last night, I was reminded as to why Kansas City decided to ultimately move on from Alex Smith and roll with Patty Mahomes. Now, I don't care what anyone says. No one could have predicted that Mahomes would look the way he has over the course of 5 weeks. Nobody could have predicted that. But at the same time, Alex Smith, his inconsistency, I mean, that was in full swing last night. The arm strength, there's issues there. And there were a couple of bad decisions last night. And Alex Smith is typically, the quote, game manager. People for some reason believe that's an insult. It's not an insult. He is a game manager. It's what he does. And when he's not managing the game, you're going to lose. And he didn't manage the game last night, and they lost. He's thrown 4 touchdowns to 2 interceptions this season. Had one that probably should have been a pick 6 last night. Was not good in this game. And it didn't help that Washington's rushing attack was non-existent. Chris Thompson had to carry some of the load last night because Adrian Peterson suffered a shoulder injury. I mean, all in all, it was just a bad night for the Washington Redskins. But looking at the NFC front to back, and for every bit of a bad loss as that was for Washington, it was that important for New Orleans. Because I mentioned Philadelphia. They haven't been great. 2-3. People are already calling for the benching of Carson Wentz and should they go back to Nick Foles. It's already happening. Philly was projected as one of the heavyweights in the NFC. Minnesota, 2-2-1. Yeah, they look better on Sunday, but they beat the Eagles. 2-2-1, 500 team. Defense hasn't looked great. They've given up 131 points, which is second in the NFC North to only Detroit. They've given up more points than anyone in the NFC East. They've given up more points than all but one team in the NFC West, that one team being the San Francisco 49ers. That defense hasn't been good. Vikings, they were projected to be a heavyweight. 2-2-1. Carolina, they're at 3-1, fresh off of a bye week. They performed well enough to get a victory again over the New York Giants this past weekend. Were they deemed a heavyweight? No, they weren't. The Rams and the Saints, combined record of 9-1. The Rams are 5-0, the Saints are 4-1. The Saints, more importantly, 2-0 away from home. The Rams and the Saints, and again, I bring these two up because these were projected heavyweights. And let me tell you what separates the difference between a heavyweight and a pretender. The Rams, the Saints, and the Chiefs have yet to lose a game away from home. It's that simple. 5 games into the regular season, and you know if it's been a fluke or if it's been convincing. Hasn't been a fluke. Saints go on the road, they beat the Falcons. It's a good win for the Saints on the road. The Rams, they beat the Seahawks. Always tough to win at CenturyLink Field. I don't care what state Seattle's in, it's a tough place to go in and get a victory. That's a good win for the Rams. Rams had to beat the Raiders on opening Monday night. Premiere of John Gruden. That was a good win. The Saints, they had to beat the Falcons on the road. no easy task. Had to beat the Giants on the road. Giants are just good enough to cause teams some issues. And Kansas City, boy, don't even get me started on the way these guys have looked. If I'm putting together a power ranking right now, I'm putting Kansas City number one. Because the Chiefs are doing it on the road against great opponents. They beat the Chargers on the road already. They beat the Steelers on the road. They beat the Broncos on the road. That's the difference. Five games into the season, three best teams in the NFL, there's no question. Chiefs, Rams, Saints. And I'd put them in that order. You got to win on the road. Out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. I want to thank Coach Josh Huntsman for taking out the time to join us, and also Jamison Welsh. It's great to get some NBA basketball talk back on. Of course, you'll be able to listen to the Utah Jazz all year right here on KOAL. Out of time once again on this edition of the show. Coming up next, I'm going to host Meet the Candidates with you right here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m.